And the subtitle is about Jesus the Messiah. And this all kind of started to gel in my mind when my sister and I, on Black Friday, we stood in line at Kohl's for almost an hour just to check out for one thing that we wanted to buy. And we were, I don't know if any of you did any shopping over the weekend, but it was pretty crazy. And people were just piling stuff in their carts. And it just seemed to me like there was this almost a frenzy to buy everything you could possibly buy that was on sale, you know. And then the whole rest of the time of the weekend, it was, you know, get 25% off this or 50% off here. And you're going, yeah, well, but you have to buy the 100% before you get the 50% off, right? Oh, my goodness. And this time of the year, it's always so interesting because the birth of Christ is all mixed up with, you know, Santa Claus and Christmas trees and presents and merchandising of all sorts and decorations. And did you put your lights up yet? You know. And, and by the way, yeah, what? I cannot think of anything that I really need to get for Aunt Martha. You know, I don't know. You just throw up your hands and go, I hate this time of year. First of all, because it's not even the time of the year of the birth of Christ. So you just get all mixed up with the whole thing. So I wanted to talk about three keys today that I think are dealing with the pressure. And if you're not under pressure, that's fine. It's something you can turn around and help someone else with if you want. And the first thing has to do with the name, how Jesus is a Savior, and his name Jesus. So in every decision, in every place we are, no matter what we're doing during this time, and really our whole lives, right? But during this time, we can really call out for help to the Savior. So I want to start by looking at Luke, at the prophecies about Jesus' birth. Because in these prophecies, when the angel first comes to visit Mary, there are some really wonderful verses. So Luke chapter 1, and starting in verse 20, and I'm going to read out of the Aramaic translation. So verse 20 starts out, this is the angel talking to Mary. From now on, 30, okay, the angel talking to Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. And behold, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus." I don't know as Jesus was a real common name at that time. Joshua was a common name, but the way Jesus is spelled in Aramaic, it's Yeshua. And so I'm not going to go into a whole lot about the word picture, but the first letter is a picture of a thumb with an arm. And it's the smallest letter of the alphabet, the yud. It's the smallest letter, but it means power or work. And when you hold it up like this, that's the very first letter of Jesus' name. And his name means the power of change completely experienced. So when you talk about a Savior, he's a deliverer. It means to help. Some other synonyms are, he causes change, there's power, he's a helper. That's the one that really stuck out to me. He's our helper. So when we're in the midst of any kind of stressful situation, no matter if it's the holidays or not, we can just go, help, we need a Savior. And the very first thing that the angel told Mary was, you need to name him this, because every time someone would say the name of Yeshua or of Jesus, it would be emphasizing that he was going to come in and cause a tremendous change. And power would be poured out because of it. So go on and read a little bit more. The angel continues and he says, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Woohoo! He's the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of David his father. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and there will not be a boundary to his kingdom. I mean, when we talk about Savior, it's about the helper right now, but it's also about the fact that when he comes back, he's going to be a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his kingdom, there will be no end to it. And we get to be there. So, you know, when you start looking at some of the things that are on in our daily life, compared to this huge hope that we have for all eternity, where we're going to be with him. When he comes back to get us, it says, so shall you ever be with the Lord, right? It makes it seem much smaller, right? But keep on going, too. Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Because no man has known me. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come, and the power of the Most High, there it is again, Most High, will overshadow you. Because of this, the one who is begotten in you will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, is also pregnant with a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. Elizabeth was Mary's aunt, or cousin, kinswoman, because verse 37 is really key. And he said, God said this in the manifestations, because nothing is difficult for God, or nothing is impossible for God. If God could overshadow a woman who was had never known a man before and plant the seed of a son in her supernaturally, then he can do anything. He can have power to come into our lives too in every situation. So nothing is impossible with God. The NIV has got a really great translation of that verse. Is no word from God will ever fail. So what promise do you need? No word promised from God will ever fail. He always backs it up with all that he is. So Mary went to Elizabeth's house right at this point. And Elizabeth really encourages her. So jump down to verse 45. When Elizabeth sees Mary first come, the baby in her womb leaps with great joy. And verse 45, she says, blessed is she who believed, because there will be a completion of those things that were spoken with her in the presence of the Lord. Can you imagine how comforting that was to Mary at that point? Here she is. She's a virgin. She's betrothed, which is equivalent to being married in that culture. And she finds herself with child, or, you know, when the angel comes and says it, and then it comes to pass. And she's like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And here she goes to be with her kinswoman, and Mary speaks these words. So we're going to see a little bit later also how words are really important to encourage each other. But I think that the thing that must have really blessed Mary the most was the promise, just like the angel had promised her, right? There was a promise that every single thing will be fulfilled. And she had grown up just like all the other Judean people at that time, learning about the prophecies of the Messiah and how he would come and what he would do, and all that must have like flooded her mind. And when Elizabeth said, it will be fulfilled, it was like, okay, all right, we can do this. So when we call out for help to the Savior, then he always answers with direction, with help, with counsel, with coming in to be a deliverer. You know, it's not just singing songs about wonderful, merciful Savior. I mean, that song, it talks in there about we're praising God because of what Jesus does, not only what he accomplished, but what he does all the time in our lives, every day. There's answers, there's direction, there's hope. And there's this big picture where we can rely upon Jesus, Yeshua, right? The Savior, the one who changes things. So, well, you talk about the Christmas story. I think it was last year I taught about the real pageant of Christmas. And if you want to go get the paper on the back table by the door, I put some copies of the translation from Luke chapter 2, all about the birth. But there are so many things that were different than even the traditional Christian approach to the birth, right? Like Joseph and Mary were married. They didn't have a baby on the road to Bethlehem. They didn't stay in an inn. They were actually in a house, although it was a separate part of the house where the animals were kept. When the angel appeared to the shepherds, it was not at night. It was during the day because the sheep would not be out in the fields at night. They always brought them into the fold. And the swaddling clothes were not a sign because every baby was swaddled. And when it says, this is a sign to you in Aramaic, that's the same spelling as the word of he has come to you. And it says, this day, let's see, Luke 1. Let's look at Luke 2. Let me just see here a second. Luke 2. Verse 11, okay? For today the deliverer, who is the Lord the Messiah, is born to you in the city of David. And this is a sign to you, is what it even says in the Aramaic. But there's a variant reading of the word atha, which means he has come. He has come. What the angel was announcing to the shepherds was, he's here. Go find him. Go to the city of Bethlehem and call out to, where is the baby that's been born? I want to see him. And then when the shepherds came and they found him, they told Mary all about what had happened, where the angel had this glorious expression of glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. And then it says, reconciliation to the sons of men. That was the announcement, not just goodwill, peace and goodwill, but peace and reconciliation to the sons of men has come. He has come. And now we know that he lived his life and he fulfilled everything that God wanted him to fulfill. So the second key is in the prophecy that happened with Simeon. And after the baby was born, in a certain period of time, then Joseph and Mary came and brought the baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated and to have the purification of Mary. And Simeon was a wonderful man. And start in verse 25 of chapter 2. Now there was a certain man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was upright and just, and he was waiting for the comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been spoken to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he would see the Messiah of the Lord. What an incredible promise to this man who had lived his life, you know, in serving in the temple. Verse 27, this man came by the Spirit to the temple, and when his parents brought the child Jesus to do for him as was commanded in the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now, my Lord, dismiss your servant in peace according to your word, for behold, my eyes have seen your, what? salvation or mercy that you have prepared in the presence of all nations. My eyes have seen the Messiah. I've seen what God is providing as salvation for his people. And then verse 32 is the key verse. A light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel. He gave this prophecy about how Jesus was going to be the light. He was going to bring light not only to the Gentiles, but also to his people. So you could say it opposite. Because Simeon was a Jew, right? So how did he know that Jesus was going to be a light to the Gentiles? It was prophecy. He was saying it right there. And can you imagine what comfort that was then to Joseph and Mary as well? See, he is. He's the Savior. But now he's also going to be a light. And keep on going. Verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled at these things that were spoken about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this man is set for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign of contention. What does King James say there about a sign? Yeah, something. So there already also what Simeon prophesies is that some people are going to believe and some people are not. And when you shine the light on something, it not only is bright and brightens everything, but it also exposes the darkness. And so that's the thing about light. So the key that I was thinking about as far as how to live without stress is that we have to pour light on everything and walk as children of light. And that's in 1 John. I want to just show you something in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And in verse 5. This is the gospel that we heard from him and we preach to you. That God is what? Light. And there is no darkness in him at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are liars and we do not proceed in the truth. God is light. Okay, so picture God is light. And there is absolutely no darkness in him. So when he shines on things, it does expose the darkness, right? Verse 7 is the key verse. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all our sins. See how it says Jesus there? The blood of Yeshua, the one who changes everything. But I was studying this verse this week and found out that, like, if you take the commas out of it, like you read it, like, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, comma. If you put the comma after light, I mean after is, but if we walk in the light as he is, comma, in the light we have fellowship one with another. God is light, and Jesus is the light of the world, too. And if we walk as he is, shining lights on situations and walking in light, speaking light, being children of light, shine as lights, like it talks about in Philippians. We shine as lights in this crooked world, right? In the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then I found out that there's actually also a variant reading in this section where instead of with each other, it's with him. Because it's really both. You have to have fellowship with God first, then you have fellowship with each other. So it's the same principle, though, of walking in the light. And fellowship just means communion, sharing, partnership, you know, everything you can imagine that has to do with relationship, right? And we have been learning so many wonderful things about having a relationship with God is the key. So, there's another verse. I'm not going to look at it, but it's 2 Corinthians 4:6. How light is seen in the face of Jesus Christ, and he is the one who has shined in our hearts. So we have Christ in us, right? And if Christ is the light of the world, then that's in us. So when we see, we shine that out, that's what people see. They see Christ, and the word Christ is Messiah. So you have Jesus, and you have Christ, or the Messiah. The Messiah has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's what we have to be able to do, especially at this time of the year. Now I want to look at Proverbs chapter 4, because this leads to the third point, is that in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." Well, if it's dark, you stumble, right? Verse 20, "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Okay, take your ear and go, okay, I'm inclining here now. What is he going to tell me? "Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." If we really believe that in our heart is this light, then it will shine. It will start shining everywhere we go. So people will say, "What is the difference with you? How come you are not stressed out? You know, look at all this other stuff going on." But instead, you're just like, okay, here we are. And you keep preaching, keep sharing, keep shining, keep shining. I love that. Now look at Proverbs chapter 25. Because the third key is what we speak, and that if we're going to walk on the path of light, one of the very key things that we have to do in order to be able to shine as lights is to speak words of light. And Proverbs 25 has a beautiful verse. In verse 11, it says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver." And this is a really beautiful verse, because the word fitly spoken means words that roll on wheels. They roll out of our mouth like wheels. And if it's fitly, then the wheels are round, and they make the path smooth for the words to go out, so that they can be received with ease, with grace, with kindness, with thoughtfulness. If you didn't have them on wheels, then they would be bumping around, right? The words move quickly, quietly on their way with no harshness. So if you want to think about what the greatest gift that we could give to somebody during this time is, we could give them a word fitly spoken. And the apples of gold and pitchers of silver is they're actually oranges. Apples, they didn't have apples in the East. They had beautiful oranges that looked golden, right? And to set them off, you would put them in a basket of silver with like filigreed silver, where it was all cut out. Like Dan makes these beautiful cutout wood pieces, right? But this would be cut out silver. So you have oranges in a basket of silver. And the presentation of it is just awesome. You know, you think about the most beautiful decorations that you've ever seen with Christmas trees and wreaths and all this stuff, right? And it's all red and green and stuff. And I just thought this was so cool because God's idea of beauty was oranges and silver. And to give that as a gift. But remember, it's talking about words that we speak. So the words of life, I think there's three different kinds of words we could think about right at this point. Words of comfort, for example, to someone who had lost a loved one, this time of the year is extremely hard. And so to look for that, to look for an opportunity to talk to someone about the comfort of the hope that they can have, especially at this time of year. And then words of counsel. You can go and read verse 12 that follows there in Proverbs 25. It says, like a word fitly spoken is like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. You know, not everybody likes to have reproof. But counsel, if you look at it like that, it's counsel. It's say, here's the light, here's the darkness. Which one do you want to choose? You shine the light on the truth, and it exposes the darkness. So some people will believe, and some won't. But that's not your job. Your job is to speak the words of counsel. There's a cool story I found. It says, a certain Baptist merchant of Richmond became seriously embarrassed in his business. The report went out that he had failed and caused much painful surprise. A few days after the suspension of his business, Dr. Jeter, who it's talking about, in passing down the aisle of the church one Sunday morning, he met this man. He grasped him by the hand with unwonted warmth and said, "How are you, brother? I have heard some fine news about you." The man had just lost his business, right? Just about that time, the sad brother was feeling that all the news concerning him was of the worst sort. With mingled surprise and curiosity, he asked the doctor what he had heard. "Why, I heard that you had failed in business, but that you had failed honestly. It is nothing to lose your money if you have been able to retain your integrity." The kind word went far to reconcile this brother to his misfortune. He did fail honestly, but not long after that started again and rose to high prosperity. The words that we speak can change someone's life. And the last kind of words, I think, are to just really end here is words of encouragement and prayers. And we had such wonderful testimonies today about the things that God has answered in prayers. And if you think about fitly spoken words or words that roll on wheels, it's those kinds of words that are encouraging, that are lifting, that are kind, that are full of grace. For example, you know, maybe when someone is sick and they need to be encouraged, you know, even if it was just a cold or something, it's like, no, this is exactly what Kathy was saying. This is not the end here. This is just a time for God to go to work, and you can have that, those two things. You have Jesus, the one who's, you can cry out to for help, for answers, who's got the power. And then the Messiah, the one who's the light. And the light will shine on every kind of situation that we're in, and no matter whether it's the holidays or not, right? So the last verse I want to close with is Luke chapter 6. Because this is really what kind of summarized what I'm trying to share today for me. Was we have Christ in us, right? And that's a treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. God is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. So if we let that treasure that's inside of us shine out, then we're going to be magnifying Jesus, the Messiah. Verse 45. A good man from the good treasures that are in his heart produces good things, and an evil man from the evil treasures that are in his heart produce evil things. For from the abundant things of the heart, the lips speak. If we do nothing else this holiday season, think about giving gifts of kind words and of light. So I kind of wanted to end with playing this song that the Bill Gaither group sing, and it's called Jesus the Messiah. So, Jeffy, you want to play it? God bless you guys.
You're my Lord.